good hope. Yeah. Then I just tell them, you take the patient for 30 minutes and questions and responses for 30 minutes. And then it will be exactly an hour. What is she? What is she? No, come. Too personal. PA can do it, not special. Yeah. The reason why I have a secretary and a PA is because change was supposed to deal with this. Let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you. It's so fun when members of parliament don't behave and the police behave so well under the leadership of Commissioner De Beede. Morning to you, Makabana from Suta. Morning to all of you members of parliament and our visitors, and also the gallery is there. Media people, you don't, if there are some media people here, unfortunately there are no news for you today. We are going to have so well with speaker today, you won't believe. So without any waste of time, I will ask the members of parliament, it's a normal thing, ourselves, introduce ourselves before we start this meeting, after which then we take introductions from our visitors, and then we can start with our presentation. Starting with you, Joe.
I'm Jamuso Simo from Quebec and member of the committee.
I'm Steve Mwate from Northwest Province, member of the committee. Sam Mawadet from the Western Cape.
An additional vice Western Cape.
Yamazeli Boy from Philippi in Western Cape.
Better to know who is there.
Mishwe Houten.
And then we have our two committee secretaries. We have our very, very strong one this time. You know, Jeremy is so little, but today you'll be all shocked that I'm so empowered now. I have Jeremy, Michael, the committee secretary, and we've learned one from the defense. As you can see, the structure. You are Ekilo? Ekilo. Yeah. And then myself, Mahoto Soki. From the Free State. We will then ask our visitors to introduce themselves. You know, I'm so uncomfortable here. I feel as if he judged the court, you know, this thing so high.
Good morning, members of parliament. My name is Jonas Ohoshi. I'm from Sita.
I'm Fayana Falanda, also from Sita.
Good morning, I'm Assistant Commissioner Marlene Meyer from SAS.
Good morning, I'm Director Stefan Pietersen, also from the South African Police Service.
Thank you very much. Am I right when I say that your hair, Mr. Mabuso, I understand you read that? I heard from the newspapers, I'm not sure.
He has not resigned. He has retired, but he's moving on to Home Affairs.
Yes, I heard yesterday evening that he's moving on to. Yes. How can you retire and move on to something else?
He wanted to retire, but I suppose he's been redeployed.
Now, who is heading the department?
The board will be starting the process of identifying a new CEO, both internal and external, and that process will start this month.
All right. Thank you very much. I just wanted to make sure, because when you deal with finance, you have to get the leader of that certain department, instead that is the accounting officer. That's why I just wanted to be sure, because I learned yesterday that she's moving to Home Affairs, let's hope for myself will be right one day. Then it's not any waste of time. We'll take your presentation. As I have indicated that we'll give you half an hour for the presentation and then half an hour for the questions and the response. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I will be doing the presentation today, and I've got our CFO, Mr. Fayyan Falanja, and the two of us will be taking the questions. And the structure of our presentation today is obviously, first and foremost, just give you a bit of introduction. But I think the committee has been with CETA for some time, so you're aware of the transformation that is taking place within CETA. It is important that we give an update on that transformation, give you an idea on our objectives for last year and the coming years, look at the budget, so we look at the actual and also next year. The reason why, ma'am, I spoke about an update is because we just closed our books at the end of March. We're in the process of audit, so what you got was the numbers as the forecast until the end of March, but now that we have finalized the books, we'll give you the final number. And then also look at some of the challenges that are facing CETA. The reason why we put the slide around the mandate and the funding of CETA is two things. One is to remind obviously everybody that as CETA, we are an inactive company. We derive its mandate from the CETA Act. But in terms of funding, that we are what is scheduled, we are scheduled 3A public company, meaning that we don't have any government budget allocation, and we must be self-sustaining through the revenue that we get from departments. So we must make a profit or at least a surplus, and that's how we must fund the ongoing operations of CETA. That 3A classification has got some challenges for a company like us, which is an IT, and we are looking at asking for a reclassification, and that process is underway. Just to make sure that we remind ourselves of what is that CETA, what is the objective of CETA as per the CETA Act? Really, our mandate or objective is to make sure that we promote the efficiency and the effectiveness of the government department through the use of information and communication technology. When CETA was formed, ma'am, about 6-7 years ago, the whole idea was for government to achieve the values as defined in the House of Values. One of those, if you look at the roof of this house, is to ensure that we lower the cost of ICT to government. Government, over time, has been spending a lot of money on IT, so the idea was we must make sure that we lower the cost of IT, increase the productivity of government departments, and also increase citizen convenience. All of these things must be done in a secure environment, make sure that the systems of government interoperate, meaning that you can have information from Department of Health and Security, and that information can also be accessed by Home Affairs, if there's an e-forest and in the secure environment. We must reduce duplication. Make sure that government gains in terms of criminal scale. Government today is one of the biggest spenders on ICT, and we must get economies of scale. And lastly, make sure that we enable the economic empowerment. I won't go through the vision, etc., but just to paint the picture of what kind of services we provide. And these services we obviously provide to government, to steps also. Just to highlight some of the few things. One is when CETA was formed, the government asked CETA to go and develop or create a private network, telecoms network, meaning create a network that will enable government departments to access their systems. So we have done that, and that network is called the Government Common Core Network. Government also asked CETA to host some of the so-called transversal applications, things like tax plan, as an example, things like basic accounting system. So all of those things we are doing, and you will be aware, ma'am, that we are involved in a big project, a multi-billion rand project called the IFMS, Integrated Financial Management System. We also do procurement on behalf of government. We also do research and development. And also, we create, we develop and own a disaster recovery strategy for government. In terms of our human resource, and what I'm showing here really only the permanent members of the organization,
As an IT company, which is very cyclical in nature, we do have contractors, and the contractors will vary from 1,000 to 1,500. But if you look at permanent employees, we have 2,130 employees, and out of that, 966 are African, 904 are white, 143, and 120. In the main, we have achieved the objectives of our employment equity. You will be aware that in terms of male and female, we are ahead of most companies in the IT industry, that we have about 926 of our permanent employees being female. But this speaker does not tell you the truth, because the truth is that where we have most African cardinations, it's mainly at the top, where you have management, and at the bottom. But in the middle, we still have the challenges, where we have the core technical skills, and our drive in the last few years has been to make sure that we create those skills, investing in developing African class and Asian skills in the middle of the organization. We thought it would be proper to show you the top accounts, and this will differ from what you have there, because now that you have the final numbers that we have closed the year, these are the top 23, 22 odd departments, and you will see that the SEF is by far our largest customer, with about 643. Now, normally when we present to portfolio committee, the portfolio committee will compare 643 to the budget of SEPs in terms of ICT and wonder where is the difference, because typically if you look at SEPs ICT budget, it's more than 643. The truth is that we don't necessarily participate on those. Some of those things are tenders that we already, we as CISA, ran those tenders, awarded them, and they are provided by private sector. In some cases, this may exclude even capital expenditure, for example. In some area, it may exclude capital expenditure. And in some cases, it may exclude things that you pay to telecom, for example. So this number does not necessarily represent the budget of the department, but really what flew through our books, and SEPs is by far the largest. Now, as any company, the 80-20 rule, the 22 odd departments represent about 71% of our revenue. But if you look at the revenue per business unit, and you will wonder why the number for SEPs on this slide is different from the number on the previous slide. The reason is that what we try to do here is to apportion the revenue we get from SEPs through the provinces. If it came from three states, even though it's SEPs, we'll just allocate it to three states so that we can have a picture of how their provinces are doing in terms of revenue. And by far, the largest, obvious national department represents the largest, followed by the coastal region. The biggest region really in that coastal region, probably the biggest province, is KZN, where we have over 300 million rand from that province alone. It is important that we underscore, especially that we spoke about the departure of our CEO, underscore what happened with the transformation. Because in the main, the transformation of CISA has really brought some good things for CISA. Those of you who have dealt with CISA will understand that it was a long journey. The reason for us to transform CISA, first and foremost, about 2 or 3 years ago when the new CEO, was an old CEO now, when the Mabutum Sman took over, was that the image of CISA in the media or everywhere else was really bad. People were always complaining about CISA, whether it's about corruption, whether it was about inefficiency, but it's always problems about CISA. But the two most important reasons why we transformed was that our customers, and have to be one of the biggest customers, were really unhappy with the service delivery of CISA. We're unhappy with the quality, we're happy with the cost of the service, etc. So if they compare us with industry, they were not happy about that. But also, our employees, the morale of the employees was very low. If you remember that CISA was formed in around 1999, and in that period, it had over 11 CEOs and acting CEOs. Typically, if you have that kind of situation, employees get tired with everybody coming in, coming with a new strategy. So, in the main last 3 years, the company, in fact, the one has been stabilized. So, when the CEO came on board, Mr. Siman said, what he wants to do is to first and foremost arrive the situation, make sure that you normalize the situation, and only then rationalize it for optimum performance. We put together about 7 strategic objectives,
And in the main, those have been met. One was to radically improve service delivery to the citizens. I will talk to you about one or two things that we have done in terms of that. So that's actually wrong. It radically improved service delivery to our customers, not to the citizens. Something wrong there. The second one is prioritize citizen-centric projects. I'll talk to you about that. The next thing was to drive best demonstrated practice in people management and leadership. When Mabuso joined CTAP, you had almost the same number of contractors, number of employees. Many people have their own contracts suiting themselves, and when he came on board, made sure that the company is managed according to the best practice. We had to overhaul the internal and external communication, build an appropriate structure, and I'll talk to you about that, and also maintain financial sustainability. So where are we year to date? So in the financial year 2004-2005, we did what was called a DeepSeek, and that was to understand how many of our customers are actually happy with our service. And when we did that, only 45% of our customers were happy. Now that in itself is a problem, because if you're in private sector and you have more than half of your customers happy with you, you close down business, because they'll move on, they'll go somewhere else. They will go and buy from somewhere else. So we were lucky that we were created by an act of parliament, but we didn't want to sit on our laurels, because I'm sure that if you're created by an act of parliament, you can also be closed by an act of parliament. So we did lots of things to try and improve service delivery, and the things that I spoke to you about outside what we did. And this year, in financial year, or previous financial year, FY 06-07, the number of, or the percentage of those who are happy with us now has jumped to 62%. So we are quite happy about that, and we are looking at the, we are now analyzing the numbers to see if you look at the problems, which ones are happy with us, which ones are happy, what are the problems with those departments, and then go and hone on how we can handle those so that we can improve the service delivery. One of the problems, and I'm sure this has been mentioned many times in here, was that when you work with DICA, the departments are complaining about the long tender days. So the tender will normally take about 242 working days, right? So it's not only days, but it's a working day. So we're talking about over a year. The problem with that is that if in the IT industry, if your tender goes to more than 242 days, by the time you finish evaluating the tender, the requirements have changed, if the rules have changed, you might as well close down the tender or cancel it, which is what has been happening in the past with CTAP. Now, we have to say that last year we did the same thing and did an average of how long it takes us to evaluate and our tender. It now takes 26 days. Now, 26 days is quite good. We think in some of tenders we can bring it down to about 30 or so. The truth is that you can't bring it way down because there are special requirements. For example, that the tender must be published a certain number of days. The evaluation must take a number of days. It must go through a certain process to be finalized. So 26 days, we don't think we'll get it below that. But small tenders, in many cases, we're able to do it quicker than that. In terms of being financially sustainable, in financial year 5-6, our revenue was 2.9 billion rand. Actually, if we go back before we talk about it in the revenue, is that in the last 2 years, it was for the first time, if I remember correctly, that we as CISA, we had our financial segment not qualified, right? So I think we did very well, and in the last 2 years, we have never gone to DTSA ask for any bailing out in terms of money, because we're financially sustainable. So the revenue was 2.9 billion. We just closed our books now, and our revenue has jumped to 3.3 billion. The profit before tax is about 3.9%, was 3.9% 2 years ago, and now it's 4.6. That number, while it's important, especially for analysts, for us, the number that we don't want to get very high, because ultimately we are about service delivery. We're not about making money. The money that we make is really to ensure that we sustain ourselves, but we're not there to make huge profits. So if you compare that number with the industry numbers, you see it's slightly lower, but we don't care about that number because we're not about making huge profits. There are some projects that, and I have not mentioned any of the ones we have today, but some of the projects that the committee may want to know about. You are aware of the Basopili gateway or the portal where people can go and find out if they want to apply for IDs, where do they go, what form do they require, how much do they pay, etc. That portal has now been translated into seven official languages. I think we have finalized the other 11, the rest of the 11 languages. So anybody can go and find out, this is with Kalpa, Social Study, and find out the information about government services. That portal is being used by people, and we have next week a call center where we have over 22,000 calls. I must be honest with you that not all of them are about the service. Some of them are about prank calls. People just calling just to make fun of us, not in a little speaker, but just to small kids calling and because it's a toll-free number, they just call it. But in the main, that call center is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call anytime, 2 o'clock in the morning, and say, I want to apply for my ID. Where do I go? You can dial that 1020 number, so it's waiting. But also what we have done is one of the problems, and I don't want to take the thunder from the Minister of ETSA or that of Home Affairs. One of the problems with Home Affairs is that if you apply for an ID and you want to find out if the ID is real or not, if you're like us, most of us in here, you go drive there and find out, or you probably may have people that you know, you call them. If you are a normal citizen, you have to go to the department every day to find out and to be told it's not here yet. And the many times you go, people who are quite old, if they have no money, travel back and forth from home to the office, sort of back and to try and find out where the ID is. What we have done is, as of the 31st of March, and that is only for people who have applied for ID from 31st of March, we created what we call track and trace. What that track and trace does is you are able just to send an SMS with your ID number to find out where your ID is. And it will tell you your ID will be ready in 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days. Something which is very good because the usage of SMS or cell phones in the country has increased. We're trying to use those kind of technologies to enable service delivery. I don't have the number with me here. I do apologize, but if you in case you want it, I'll call the team and they'll give me the number and I'll give it to you. But also what we have also done is we have worked with the Department of with DTSA, and we have created a portal which will be launched soon, and that is an e-invisa, really, where you have the e-invisa online. So use the community workers to go and get more information about the queries of the government, of employees, sorry, of citizens, anything about government services. Last year, we held one of the biggest conferences about government service delivery using ICT in the country. For the first time, we had people from government, people from private sector, overseas people, talking about what is required for South Africa to really improve service delivery in the public sector. And what we did with that conference, instead of it becoming just a talk show, we sat down, we looked at the priorities, action items, and we've been executing it since then. It has become a sort of effective leadership kind of conference, and we'll be holding it each year. If I go quickly to our strategic objectives, and I don't want to go into details on it, but I think it's important to talk about what is really influencing us to do the things that we do. One is that you are aware that everybody is talking about this convergence, voice over IP, etc. These are the things that radically change the way we as organizations deliver service. You are aware that the e-government worldwide has matured. We have been talking about e-government in South Africa for quite some time, but if you go worldwide, you get countries like Canada, countries like Brazil, countries like India, have really implemented e-government, and our view is that what is that we need to do to do that? But also, I think what is important for us, it's important to understand that we as government, or even as leaders, cannot do this on our own. There is we must use the economies of scale in terms of the available industry, but also economies of skill. We don't have enough skills in the country to drive the things that we require, and therefore looking for partnership with industry to help us help departments to improve service delivery. So our objectives going forward, really, now that we have stabilized the organization, it's something that is how do we radically improve the customer experience of system? The satisfaction level is at 62%. We want to improve that by about 10%. So add another 6.2 on top of that, moving to about 68.2%. That's our objectives for going forward. We are aware that as the numbers go higher, it will be more and more difficult to increase that index. But we want to go to just below 20%. The second thing we want to do is that now that our customers are happy to deal with us, What they ask us to do is they want us to take costs out of our operations. They believe that our services are too expensive, so we need to go and create efficiencies and effectiveness in operations and take out costs. So that's the focus of Hospita this time. But also what we think is important, this is mainly from government point of view. The fact that government created CETA, the purpose was to make sure that we as CETA ultimately have the thought leadership as far as ICT is concerned in public sector. So that's our responsibility. We should not be followers in terms of how you use ICT. When Parliament wants to find out how do we use ICT to improve the effectiveness of meetings, CETA should be able to say that this are the things that we do, not CETA really to be in the background. In many cases, we're in the background, not really leading, and that's what we want to do. So, one is that we want to accelerate the implementation of e-government, we want to provide partnership, and also develop appropriate partnerships. And so far, we have very started with some of those partnerships as we speak. There are some few initiatives that are important that I will talk about. One is now that Mabuso has a service organization, we want to capture the minds and hearts of employees. Because ultimately that's what will make the company change. So we have implemented something called Destination to Success. We want employees of CETA to be happy to work for CETA. We want them to be happy to provide service. Because it is not only about the leadership, it's not only about Mabuso, it's about the people, it's about the moment of the moment of truth. When you call CETA, how do people receive you? How do they get your call? How do they service you? So that's the first thing. Second thing is first improvement program. We've looked at the customer satisfaction survey. We've identified the areas where there are problems, and we started with an initiative of how to take each of those and create service improvement initiatives. We are working with the various governments of Brazil, of India, and Canada to change the government in South Africa. As a matter of fact, in 2 weeks' time, we're going with the board and some members from GTSA to those two countries, Canada and Brazil. We have created what is called a municipality blueprint, which is really how municipalities should use ICT to improve service delivery. One of the most important points that we are working on is what is called an integrated financial management system. You're aware that government runs what is called back office systems, the basic accounting system, the capital of this world, the logic of this world. Now, government spends over 1 billion rand per annum running those systems. But if you look at how many systems we have in that area, we have over 15 systems all in all. So we are working on a new integrated system. It's not only about financial management, it is about human resource management, it's about financial management, it's about business intelligence, and it's also about asset management. So we have now, in the last 9 months, gone out on tender for at least two of the key applications. Next week we're going on another tender, which will be for human resource management. And also what government allows us to do is to put together what is called open source software project management office. One of our biggest problems in South Africa is the availability of skills, both in government and in the private sector. We are working with the private sector to create a process of creating more skills in South Africa. Isometric users, as a catalyst, an example, we held a skills in Daba with the private sector about 2 weeks ago, another meeting taking place in June. We looked at it, what are critical skills for us to enable government to succeed, and how are we going to create those skills? And that is working well so far. So that's all about the strategies. Now about the budget. And that's where the numbers will vary slightly, and it's because now we have received the last number. Although they are not audited, in the main, the CFO is quite happy with the numbers. You will see that from 2005-2006 financial year, we moved from a revenue of 2.9 billion rand to about 3.2 the last year. And our focus for next year is that our revenue will grow by about 12% and we'll move to 3.47 billion rand. What is important, obviously, to members of parliament and our customers are the following numbers. One is our gross profit. On that, which is at the bottom of the table, our gross profit has come down, which is good news for customers, come down from 21% to 20%, and now you'll be wondering why it's increasing to 23% all of a sudden, and I'll show you why it's moving to 23%. It's not moving to 23% because we're increasing the cost to customers. You will see that we're taking cost out of our system. So we're not increasing prices to our customers. In the main, our prices will increase by up to 5%, so lower than inflation rate. However, in terms of reducing our own operating costs, that will bring our gross profit to about 20%. I'll show you that later. The other number that is obviously important to mention is what do you do with that profit as an organization? You had a profit of 140 million rand, now 152, and your budget 123 million rand. What do you do with so much money? Well, most of that money, and you see as we go along, that money is used, we reinvest that money back into the organization to our infrastructure, because our infrastructure was aging, so our networks and everything were aging, so we put more money in our infrastructure. And last but not least, our OPEX has increased, or will increase next year to 16%, only because we are going through a rebranding. The reason why I want to do a rebranding, Chair, is that we are confused with many organizations. When you talk to people about CETA, they wonder, is it CETA or CETA? So it's totally confusing. So we want to make sure that at least we can be recognized. But also, there are a lot of CETAs around the world. There's a CETA SITA in South Africa that deals with airlines. There's a CETA which is the same color as ours, which is a garbage collection company. We don't want to associate with that, obviously. So we want to make sure that there is a rebranding, and that's why our operating, our OPEX is going up, but only this is a one-time cost. In terms of our consolidated cost of sales, the number that I wanted to show you was that you will see that our direct operating cost will come down from about 1 billion rand to 846. So we are really taking out costs from our operations to make sure that we can deliver a better service to our customers. So this is the direct labor will slightly increase because of new projects. So its overhead will slightly increase and depreciate almost in line. You will see where the money is going to. You look at that in terms of depreciation, right? You will see that most of the money is going into upgrading our mainframe, is going to upgrading our network, for example. All in all, the depreciation on our infrastructure will be about 152 million, right? In terms of our assets, our assets will move from about 2.2 to about 2.4 billion. Obviously, what the company might be worried about is that the property, plant, and equipment, we've almost doubled that with only a 12% increase in revenue. The reason is that we have to invest more money in our infrastructure to make sure that we can deliver good service. I won't go into all those numbers there. I think they are self-explanatory. What we thought we should do, ma'am, is it's not in your slide, but to try and compare us to other IT companies in South Africa. Because ultimately, that's how you must compare CETA. So it's a peer comparison, and we just did it quickly just to show where we are. So you see that CETA, in terms of our revenue, and this I'm not using last year's numbers, because not only said yes, I want to compare apples and apples. So here I'm comparing all the numbers of CETA, which will be 2004 and 5, which is just slightly below 3 billion, right at 2.9 billion, and other companies where the numbers have been audited. So by far the biggest company in South Africa is Zydata in terms of revenue, as a size just below 4.5 billion, and then BTG, BTX, and then CETA. So in South Africa, we are the fourth largest IT company. So fourth largest IT company. If you compare us with other companies, they'll be slightly below that. But also, I thought it's important for us to show, if you look at our earnings before interest and tax, in terms of margin, that as a CETAP, we are way below everybody, meaning that our profitability is lower than everybody else. The reason is that we don't want to go there and make a lot of money. If myself, Mr. Salange here, we're running a private company, the guys will be saying that number must go up. But for us, about freight delivery, well, that number is fine because it can maintain the kind of things we're looking for. So we're not totally worried about that number. But also, if we look at CETA in terms of now, not only permanent employees, but all the employees of CETA, we are slightly above 3,600 employees. And you look at the productivity. So the sales per employee, CETA is number 3 in the country. So in the main, in terms of how we are performing as an organization, we are doing quite well. Obviously, a company like BTG and Dai Data, being much better than everybody else. So if we compare ourselves with our peers out there, and if we compare, so if we take that, if we're an IT company, how would you do against the rest of the industry? CETA is doing relatively well. We're not just sitting on our laurels, man. We've got a lot of, I believe we there's more work to be done. I think that productivity can even increase. If everything goes well, we're looking at it just between there, just below 1,000 rand per employee. Sorry, 1 million rand per employee, I think so. In conclusion, what are our challenges? One is, and the commissioner mayor here will attest to this, that one of the things that the department are asking for is for us to continuously invest on our infrastructure so that we can keep it current. In IT industry, the network and everything else, only 3 years. From then on, you must invest in it. The way we are funding our infrastructure is the wrong way, right? Because we have to get money from departments and then invest. The only way we can do it is to go and increase their cost, which is the price, which is the wrong thing to do. So we're looking now at partnering with industry so that we can get access to funding from industry so that we can leverage that. We're also looking at the CETA being reclassified from Schedule 3 A entity to Schedule 2. So Schedule 2. We believe there is a weakness in our legislative mandate. One of those is an overlapping mandate between us and ComSec, which confuses our customers, especially those in the security cluster, like this. On one hand, they will hear us say that this is what we require, and the next day, they will ComSec come and say, no, this is what is required. That's confusing to our customers, and we think government needs to resolve those issues. What we have done so far is we are working with ComSec, so National Intelligence, CETA, Department of Communications. We have brought in DOD and steps. We are working out really what must be done. How do we cut out the mandate in such a way that it is correct and it enables us to deliver service to our security department? We have a big problem in South Africa. If you look at only networking, the kind of skills required to do networking, the shortage in South Africa is about 10,000 vacancies where we can find these people. Many companies are seeing their business in Africa. I don't know if you're aware that IBM, for example, is gaining big business, taking away business from overseas companies, bringing it down here. And with that, what they're doing, they're taking every skill available, obviously, to do this. Now, we are working with now. It's a good thing for the country because they are bringing employment to the country, and we support them in that. But what it means is that the skills that we have in the country suddenly are moving somewhere else, and everybody else is left without skills. We are working with industry now to try and find a way to identify the critical skills. We believe there are some skills that we may want to import from somewhere else or whatever, but what are the core skills that a country must have and it cannot afford just to go from outside and create those skills so that we can continue to deliver service? Our client base is still reluctant, even though there's an increase in satisfaction, they've moved to about 60%, they're still worried about is this organization, is that improvement sustainable? Will CETA continue to deliver service with this delivery? So most of them is a wait and see. What we see is okay, but we're not sure whether they're sustainable. And our role is really to ensure that in the coming 3-4 years, the company continues to deliver good service to the customers so that now they can be happy with us. That is the end of the presentation. Mr. Mfanyana Falange, the CFO, and myself will be ready for any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mokoshi. Yeah. Thank you very much. Members, that's the presentation from CETA. I must say that there's a great improvement from CETA. I think the strategy that the portfolio committee has of chasing these people away worked. We did the same with National Secretariat, and they were excellent yesterday after they were chased away. The same with CETA now, there's a great improvement. Let's hear that from the members. I've recognized the whole job with the Demoruti and Annelies.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was just going to say what you're saying, Chairperson. Luckily, this week, there is an improvement in all our discussion with different people. It helps sometimes to fight them. But, Chairperson, I wanted to go back to slide number 5, objective. I just want to ask a question. Is the CETA succeeding in implementing the objective? If you say you are succeeding in implementing that objective, then that means your challenges may change. Specifically, when you look at the second line of your challenges with legislation mandate. Because if the objective is based on a mandate, and then when you say your challenge is the weakness of legislation, that means there is a contradiction in terms. Maybe you can clear that, which will make me understand and elaborate what you mean with legislative mandate. Because I think that if you're working with different departments, let's take the SCAC here, for instance, as an example. Then you are working with Home Affairs. Then you have that weak legislative mandate. What should be done in order to achieve the objective? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. One major challenge we are facing in the country is skills shortage. I want to know whether it has been successful in helping government bridge the gap of skill shortage, and what is being done practically to ensure that the programs that are experienced, particularly looking at what's happening with IFSA, how involved is CETA to ensure that the licensing departments do not have problems at this stage, because they are computer related. And my second question has to do with the track and trace system that you have established. You said the person can SMS their ID number to try and trace where their ID book is. Now, obviously, this would work for people that already have a number. For people who never have owned an ID, how can they, that the system, is the system user-friendly to such people? Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Also on this case skills issue, we hear that there are case skills and that you are suffering from it, and we know it's a reality, but yet we find that Home Affairs is saying that there are numerous work permits that they've made available according to the quota system, but nobody's accessing those work permits. Are you looking at accessing the permits so that you can bring in the skills, or what are you doing effectively apart from looking at long-term training processes to get the necessary skills here? Second question, Jefferson. I mean, this presentation is informative, but it doesn't tell us what CETA is doing for SAPS. And I would like to have, I mean, SAPS being a big client, I would like to know, give us, you tell us about the Home Affairs, you tell us about all these. I want to know what you're doing for SAPS. What are you doing with the money that SAPS are giving you? And if you can give us a few examples of projects that you've successfully done for SAPS during the past financial year.
I'm not going to take the dash of hands. Are you all finished?
And another question about the accountability. Who are they accounting to? If it is through the Minister of Safety and Security, I want to link the second part of the question to what you just asked. What are they doing for the department?
Okay, that's fine. It might happen that from their responses there will be some questions. But let us give to them then to respond. I think also from the question of Honorable San Diego, what is it that they are doing? Because it's where we are interested in as members of this committee. I think SAPS is also here. So usually we know that when they are telling us not the truth, SAPS will always say that this is not the truth. But we hear from our presenters from each other on those few questions.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Let me first start with the questions from our member Ndlovu, and this about the objectives. And the question is whether CETA is meeting the objectives, which are to improve service delivery to public to the public, and promote efficiency of departments and public bodies. I would say, if you look at this objective, you look at the two levels, right? The first one is where we improve the effectiveness and efficiency of departments. And the
If that works well, then we also improve via them the service delivery in terms of the public. So it's about two levels deep. So the first level, where we are primarily responsible, there are areas where there's improvement in efficiencies. I don't think we are at a level where we are measuring whether those efficiencies ultimately translate to improving service delivery to the citizens yet, except for a point-by-point project. We have not reached that level. If you look at the, how we work with the various departments, and you look at the tenders that we are running, I think the typical example would be what we call an SMS tender, Fleet Management Services tender. And that tender is used by all government departments, and in about 3 years, it will be about 3.4, 3.5 billion rand. And one of the things that we had in mind when we introduced that tender is how do you reduce the overall cost of the special desktop, the PCs, the laptops, and everything else in government. With that tender, you are able to get, in some cases, not everything, in some cases, up to 40% discount on what you buy on that tender compared to what you have to go in the open market. So there are some things that we have brought through the introduction of those tenders. And what we have asked the procurement division to do is now to measure how well we are doing with that, because we can tell whether we are using overall cost to government departments. Do we necessarily bring effectiveness or rather efficiency, etc., in government departments? Let us say it is a project, because improving an effectiveness of government department or any entity for that matter would require both technology and people and process. And in some cases, we are still working on how to improve the processes so that you don't only automate a long process, but you shorten it and then automate it. So we have not reached that level yet. In terms of the citizens or the public, I must say, we are a long way measuring that. Some of the key projects that we are running, whether it's the EEVISO or it's the Matupeli Gate, etc., we can measure how people are helping that, but we are not at that level yet. That's why one of the key projects that we are running today is really about revitalizing the e-government program in South Africa, because that will be one way that we can measure how business feel about government service delivery, how citizens feel about that. The first research that we are doing, and it's really going to citizens, to reach about 500 citizens only as a start, various places in South Africa, is starting at the end of May. And that is due to set a baseline of what people think about the things that they get from government. We'll introduce new projects and then measure it again and see if there's an improvement. But so far, we are not there yet. In terms of a legislative or a weak legislative mandate, there are two areas that are of a challenge to us. One of that is that where we have an overlap in mandate. So if you were to look at the CETA Act and the Comsec Act, there's an overlap. And it really causes confusion to our departments. When we go to the department and say, we want this part of budget you must spend with us, and then Comsec will say, no, this budget must be spent with us. So that's a bit of a challenge. But also it's a challenge because they will go and create capability or capacity to deliver service, and we also do the same thing on one side. So the reason why I said it's a weak legislative mandate is that they all started from different areas. One from security point of view is absolutely correct. But on one side, if you are implementing IT services, you must also include security as part of what you do. So you cannot separate the two. And really it's about the technology that is really clashing with the mandate. We are working on that together with Comsec, because we believe that both of us must exist. The reason why government came with them to entities. The other area where there's a challenge is that the CETA Act really applies primarily to national and provincial government, not to local government. Now, local government is where service delivery takes place. So if you have to improve service delivery, and where we're not necessarily have, and in fact, we don't have to have it as an option, you have a bit of a challenge. Right? I don't think that we want to say that the only way that we can improve is that there must be cost to work with us. But the mandate must be in such a way that when we implement things like SMS, centrally, ultimately it must go to lower municipalities. We have seen in a number of times where tenders from municipalities, they came to us and say that help us with this tender, we want to buy
asset management system. When you look at it, it's not about asset management, it's about something totally different. But because of lack of skills in that area, people were given solutions that really don't meet their requirements. So we think there must be a way that we create with them. That's really what I'm talking about in terms of weak legislative mandate. The question from Reverend Misha and Mr. Fake, if I'm correct, is really around skills in the country. And what are we doing to alleviate that? Let me answer one question, and the question is, where do we report to? As CITA, we report to the Department of Public Service Administration, DPSA. And we've seen that we have CEMDI, which has to do with skill development. We have been in discussions with them and DPSA, where we looked at why the country is unable, especially the sort of government, is unable to develop more skills. And the issue really was about whether they can pay or not. I must say that we have looked at their new plan, which have presented to the portfolio committee about a month or so ago, which really is how they can move from, don't call me the number, how they can move from paying about 400,000, where they can have about 400,000 odd training days to over 1.5 million training days per year. We think it's the right way to go. So what we're working with them on is to identify all those skills that are required in IT that they must focus on and how they should be partnered with the industry to make sure that we can scale their training. One department like or one entity like SEMDI on its own cannot scale to handle the massive requirement that we have in South Africa. We do have universities, we do have technicals, we do have other entities out there that can be accredited, that can be given a chance to train. So and that's what they've worked on. We presented that to the portfolio committee or part of that meeting, and I think that's the way to go. Now, that is obviously about a long-term plan of creating skills in South Africa. Where there's a bit of a challenge, and maybe that's where Reverend Mitchell comes from, is what about some of those skills in natives, for example? I think you're thinking about the problems with licenses and everything else, right? Yeah, that's right. Now, most of those areas, we at least are not involved in it. As a matter of fact, on e-natives, where it's about licenses, we were not involved in that as such. We have gone to them, as a matter of fact, there's a meeting taking place between us and them, to help them. One of the things, by the way, let me go back. One of the things that is a challenge was that there are things that are called the must service, meaning that departments must have those service from CITA, right? Training is a made service. They don't have to come from to us. They can go to everybody. So really, you only create a capability, and they may decide not to take it. They may not come to you, and training is one of those things, for example. And even on like in Italy, they don't have to come to us. So now we are seeing for a national crisis, we are waiting for them to alleviate that. But that is something that we don't want to do because it is a more unreactive way. But working with 70, we identified what is that department must do to make sure that they get a training. I did see the information from the Minister of Home Affairs around the West Hemis, saying that they have all those things that we. Unfortunately for us as CITA, we are not accessing that. And there are various reasons why we don't access that. One is that if those skills or if those resources people are accessed via private sector, we will go and get them. We try and work with people in Kenya, in South Africa. There are some challenges because we people who work for us must have access or would have access to sensitive government information. And in terms of the MIOs, the minimum security standards, right? People who hold passports other than South Africa cannot be hired to handle sensitive information. They have to be vetted and everything else. And unfortunately, because of that, we don't do it. When they work for other companies, and all require is for them to be given access to a certain part of the project, we do that. For example, we partner with various departments, so various private sector companies, where they bring people along themselves South Africans, but they are restricted in terms of what kind of access they must have. From national intelligence point of view, there are restrictions of what we must do, and I think it is good there for a reason. Mr. Vick asked a question about what is that we do for them? Because this was more about what we do. When we got the brief, it was to give to talk about our budget, and that's what we focused on. But let me go back and talk about, I can break it down. I'm pushing back, I didn't bring everything, but I'll talk about some of the big points that we do for that. You will remember that the feature was really formed by SEPs. SEPs, DOD, and the National Treasury. So in a way, we as feature are an outsourced arm of SEPs. For example, the hosting of all applications that the police run is run by CETA. So every application that SEPs run today is run by us. The mainframe that SEPs are talking about, we hold those mainframes on behalf of SEPs. Joint people obviously from SEPs and CETA. So you must look at us as providing almost an end-to-end, not totally but an end-to-end service. So let me highlight some of what we do. One of the biggest challenges that SEPs have, and I'm sure they will speak for themselves, is improvement of their infrastructure. SEPs are rolling out major applications to improve efficiency of the department, and that has an impact on the infrastructure. One is that we are working with them obviously on the desktop support. So via us, they are buying lots of PCs, which are then supported via third party, but via PITAM. We are working with them on upgrade of the network, as an example. But also working them on some of the key applications. Some of them not totally involved, but some that you'll know about is the AVL, which for me I think is one of the interesting projects for SEPs. Automated vehicle location system. Really where you can locate where different vehicles of the department of SEPs are. Because when there's a scene of crime, you want to know which vehicle is closest to the scene of crime so that you can send them there. Now, we have run that tender, and we are project managing it, and the implementation. It's one of the biggest projects that I think will revolutionize the way SEPs work. We are also working with them on the, although it may be seen as a small part, which is document management system, which is document dump, really how to put electronic documents for SEPs, right? That is a big project, but what it will enable us to do in future, and I hope the Commissioner Mayor is thinking that way also, is that even things like dockets in future, you can make them electronic. You can get away from things where people are, well, dockets and everything else, where you can have a central repository of all the documents of SEPs. So we are working on some of those key projects with SEPs. I've not put together all the list of the projects. Some of them I presented last time. I'll quickly look at them and I can tell you what is that we're doing. But so if I can say in the main, one is the handling of all the transversal applications, whether it is financial management, whether it is human resource management, and then all these key projects. And the basic one I have answered that we spoke to you yesterday.
Are all questions responded to? There was a time, if I remember very well, I just want members of parliament to remind me. There was a time when we asked CETA to come up with the names of their clients, in other words, the people that they are using for this project that they are referring to. And I said, there was a time when we asked you guys to bring us, because there's a full bond that go by another man. But that's the name of the side. Because you can be the same as a band, and some of us here, the shareholders, this will come by me. He said, we want those. But unfortunately, it was the time when Peter, my number 8, I think I'm still waiting for that. I'm still waiting. You remember you were here when I said, I want to know who are these people. So that this transformation that they are talking about, see they show with the EPE organization, go by another band of cities. This big money that you are taking out, we want to know who are these service providers that CETA is using. We are still waiting for that information. If we can get that information. So we want to see more than go by another band, bang a very young one, about money demand. What you guys are saying, some of us in parties, yes, or comrade analysts.
Secretary, yes, I agree with you. I remember you. We asked that, and then you just by asking that question, it also reminds me about something else that I think is still outstanding from both the department and CETA, is whether the service level agreement has now been signed. And I would also check this in, through you, please, because I mean it's fine for CETA to say to us that we can also present the budget. But surely you must realize when you come to safety and security, you must present the budget in terms of what the money is that Safety and Security is spending with you. That is why the Committee of Safety and Security is calling you. So if you would allow Jefferson just for the department to tell us whether they are satisfied that this huge amount that they are spending, that they're getting the service that they should be getting from CETA, because that is what we need to debate when we go to the house, or where they still see challenges and things. Just a quick response from there, sir.
I've noticed your comment here. I think you are right, Comrade Annelies, because the report that I have from the department that I received late last year, the one that we're arguing with National Commission, it's not a very beautiful report about the relationship between CETA and the police, you understand? So if there is something that has been done about that, I do have the report that I received from you guys from SAP. I do have that report. It's not a beautiful report. Now what I want to know is, as Annelise is asking some of these questions, is there something better now that is happening between the two? And before, yeah. And all those issues that were raised in that document that I have, are those issues now being attended to? That is between the police and CETA. You know, Ms. May, about that document, because I think we are the author of that document, signed by the National Commissioner. Honorable Boy.
Chairperson, I was not going to talk, but I was going to go along with that analysis raising and claiming to say, can we be provided with the document itself? Analysis is correct to say, this report is more general about all departments. It doesn't help us to understand this relationship with CETA. So whatever the department would be saying, would really want it to be covered with something that is more in writing, so that whenever we go and reflect on the relationship, we see what is in writing and what is the state of things. So I do support the chairperson.
Fine. I also agree that the interest of this committee is only on SAP, not on any other committee. Besides myself, as the chair of the Peace and Stability in Parliament, I'm interested in all those other committees. But I know that I meet with chairs from these other committees. Home Affairs have got a problem with CETA. I'm discussing that every time with the chair of Home Affairs. So I maybe things are better now. Since the last time you came to the committee, can you just respond to those few questions? And then I don't know which route you are going to take, because members feel that there is nothing that addresses this member when it comes to the subs. Our interest is within subs. As much as you are doing such a good work as far as these other departments are concerned, or as far as the service is concerned to these other departments, but our interests are within South African police.
Chairperson, before I respond, I think it would be helpful, as Ms. Van Dijk suggested, that the department should first say whether they are happy with the relationship or not.
It's a request. Nobody would say that the department should not respond. So I think the question was valid, whether the department is happy with the kind of service that they are getting from CETA. But the department can come up after they've responded to the questions that were directed to them, and then we'll give to the department. We'll take them last.
Thank you, ma'am. And the issue of satisfaction, I will leave it to the department to answer that question. In terms of first level agreements, yes, the first level agreements have been signed. The last time we came here, they were not signed, but now they are signed. And I think we are working on signing the next one. So the process there is working well. Maybe to touch on the issue around the relationship between us and CEPS. I think it is important to say that even in the last meeting, not the one that was canceled, the one before that one, what we said was that we have challenges. Not that we're not working together. We have challenges. And the challenges were around the cost of service, that we were not in agreement, that we are expensive, and about the quality of the service. But in the main, most of the projects that are run by myself are run by SITA employees. Most of those people are former SITA employees anyway. So I'll leave it to the department to answer that question. In terms of the services that we provide to remember that when SITA was formed, we took some of the employees of the offense into SITA. That's how SITA was formed. SITA was formed by bringing people from SEP, bringing people from National Treasury, people from DOD, and all of those people formed SITA. So we still have people who understand the work of the police who are working for SITA. Yo, the SITA employees. Yo, all not retired people. No. They are SITA employees who used to work for us. I see what the Africa Fund said. No, we are not. I hope they will not say we keep. In terms of the services that we provide, I have a list here, and what I will do, I will leave it with you. If I can go through it, it's fine. If that's what you're looking for, ma'am. But I can point.
That's the answer, sir. It confirms what SAP have told us this week. SAP strange people and certain agencies steal people from SAP. So CITA is one of the people who are stealing stuff from SAP. So it's on record. They have said it. We haven't said it. CITA is,
maybe they're offering them something better than SAP.
It's what we are trying to find out. So he said they've got a good relationship. So it's only clear that they take the money and then they take the stuff along.
Do you respond to all questions that I can give over to the police?
This one, ma'am, was about the list of services. I have them here, and I will provide them to you. What I don't have, and I'll still speak to yourself, because I need to allocate the budget to how much each of those in the last financial year.
Please, if you can give that to us. So that any name of that, the facilities, the one technology, have a fiscal tonight.
Absolutely.
Thanks. I'll give over to Seth.
Thank you, Nariti. I must admit, since the last meetings, the relationship between the South African Police Service and SITA did improve. However, we still do have our internal differences, and most of them are in relationship with the costing model of SITA. Currently, 80 to 85% of the budget allocated towards maintenance, which gives us very limited amounts for expansion and service delivery for preparation for crime combating services, expanding on technology, computer equipment, etc. But we're working on that. The service level agreements have been signed. The ones for 2007-2008 have been finalized. The only difference we still have is the costing model, which we are working on. For the South African Police Service, it is too expensive. We do not have the amounts available for the submission that SITA has submitted to us. So we need to work around that. In terms of services, yes, SITA is responsible for our maintenance services in terms of current systems, hosting. They are hosting 77 of the major systems of the South African Police Service. In terms of the uptime, that has improved dramatically since 2003. We are now up to a point of 98% on uptime in time. The only times that we are down in terms of services is, which SITA actually doesn't have a control about that. That is when we had that major power failure. Was out of the control of SITA. They couldn't do anything about that. But we were blamed for the time and saying that we didn't have the power supply. In terms of network, they are doing the current maintenance of the network infrastructure. Doing it quite good, but I must also admit that we do have our service level agreements, we do have a business agreement meeting, where we force down certain service level agreements. So that has really dramatically improved since the last time we had the meetings. The list of issues, we are managing them on a monthly basis and try to work them down so that we have a zero base. List of issues, and then only at the end of the day, hopefully, just the costing model. We do have 5,666 sites where we have equipment installed in the South African Police Service. More than 120,000 pieces of equipment. So, given the uptime that we have, I think we're doing a pretty good job between SAP and SITA in terms of maintaining those standards. In terms of new developments and projects, the documentum one, I think because Mr. Bukhoshi is in the strategic environment, is not that on par with what we are doing in the line management, because we already have an e-docket running at Cunningham Police Station, where we have an electronic docket. We hope at the end of June we will have sorted out the first the bunch of areas in terms of capacity planning, the volumes, one or two other technical problems, and then we will most probably roll that out to the rest of the country. We have also started off with the implementation of the farm permit system, where we have done site evaluation tests. We do not believe in going into a big bang approach. If you go in with a big bang approach, you'll just end up like the Department of Transport with inmates, so we don't do that. We take it small chunks, we sort out the technological errors, and then we go to the rest of the country. But when we do the implementation, we also make sure that you have a technical expertise on site as well as operational expertise. So in terms of the farm permit system, we've already done tests at six sites. We've also recovered certain firearms that were lost, stolen, whatever. We have interfaces with all our other systems as well, and SITA is supporting us in terms of the network infrastructure for that. Because to have a system like that up and running, you have to have 100% uptime in terms of your network infrastructure. So on that six sites, it worked extremely well, and we hope by the 1st of July, we will start off with rolling out to the rest of the country. We have started off with the training of the provincial system managers and the DSO sites that we issue the firearm licenses. In terms of that, SITA is supporting us also with disaster recovery. You will recall that in the Auditor General report, we didn't have that proper disaster recovery in place, especially for networks as well. We did that upgrade in terms of the documentation, and we're in the process now to implement that disaster recovery. The crux is just that 80% of our budget, 80 to 85% of the budget, is vested in terms of maintenance. So if you look at the size of the South African Police Service and the volume, it is fair that we also need to expand, because the members of the community report a case today. They don't want to hear that a police official doesn't have access to a computer or a printer to print out his report that his case was reported. But we are working on various strategies to ensure that we do improve in terms of our internal capacity. Our biggest challenge, however, is the network infrastructure. 15, 18 years ago, the decision was taken by my predecessor to go the Cyprix route, which is outdated technology. You don't get that anymore. We need to upgrade to Cisco, and 75% of our network infrastructure runs on Cyprix. So you can have the best technology in place in terms of systems and solutions. If your network support and infrastructure does not support that, won't help you a bit, you are still where you were at the other day. So we are in the process of upgrading that network infrastructure, but it's very expensive. And SITA is assisting us with that. We're trying a strategy in terms of doing that in for a phased-in approach. SITA is also assisting us with the establishment of mobile operational units, that is to be operational from wherever you are in the field. It's a type of a Mercedes Vito basic. We have access to CCTV, the geographical information system, various other systems. So if you are looking for a wanted person, you can apprehend him or there and then on the spot. We're in the process of rolling out the live scan hardware and software, where you do not have to take the fingerprints of the suspect. You just simply place his hands on a scanning device, and that leads us directly to the ACES database and do a search in terms of latent fingerprints and previous history on a person. We are also in the process of rolling out ADL, and then we're in heavily involved in a project that we call SPOT. It's the acquiring of satellite images, because in most of the places in South Africa we do not have any aerial photography or maps, street maps, things like that. So So we are using satellite images of that. We've secured last year the quite a huge amount of those satellite images. So in terms of services, yes, there is an improvement. There's still room for improvement. We're not saying it's perfect, but it's better than what it was in 2003. I think there has been a drastic change and turnaround in CETA, and I believe that more than 70% of it can be contributed to the leadership of Mr. Mesimang, especially because he stayed in office for 3 years. He concluded his term. The biggest challenge was you had a CEO of CETA that only took up office for 3 years, and before the 3 years was over, they left the office for private sector. But the other thing that CETA is still doing, they are still poaching our resources. We plan them, and once they plan, CETA still poaches them. So, if we can maintain our resources on the subside, that would be good. So I think that's basically it.
Thank you very much, sir. Members, I'm sure you're satisfied now because we heard from the horse's mouth, from that. Of all, yeah, I think everything is much better now. Erwin?
No, what SAP has to do now, the board is on their court now. They have to give us time frames of these things that they're saying that they're doing it small. But where I'm located in Nyanga, I want to hear when they're coming. I want to hear when they're going to come to go to Woodstock Police Station and do some CCTV. So if they can just work on their own time frame in this small and good relationship they are building, so that I can be able to tell the member that CCTV.
But if those CCTV were in place in Woodstock,
yeah.
We wouldn't have lost that police officer because their movement would have been.
We would have been able to monitor.
So, unfortunately, he lost a very good police officer because of some of the technology things that's not in place there. Ma'am, I just want to find out now that the staff has spoken about
the project, is
he required to do that?
Yes.
Okay, just make sure that.
We want your report. That will come from you now. We are satisfied with what. At least we don't have to go and have that document out we received from yourself. Because at least it's clear to us now that things are much better than 2 years ago. Yeah. No, I think, and we still need those service providers that you are using here. Baba Jogu Bambi, because it's 25-12, I'm on time. Madam Ruth, I'm on time. Jibambi, because, yeah. You must vote me in again in 2009. thank you very much, members of parliament. Thanks to staff and our visitors from CETA, and thanks to the gallery people. I know Friday is not a very comfortable day for members to come and sit in those. You know what's funny with this office of mine? When you want a bigger space, especially when you deal with staff. You know, it's when everyone has got an interest. You don't have a space to sit. Because they will get you the smallest room here. I don't know whether before the meeting, because Jeremy is the link between myself and the department, whether they bribe Jeremy and say that make them uncomfortable in order for them to finish in time and leave us in peace. You'll never know. And then today, poor CETA, only 3 delegation, and then we come and sit in such a big, what is he now? He's not even here. Oh, no. Thanks very much. Thanks to everyone. Members, don't forget, Sunday evening, I want to see yourself in East London. I want to see some of you in the